make sure he finds it. Bring it up here.
Should be live, Brother John. He should be live now. He should be on YouTube now.
Has he got me? Okay. Well, good morning. It's good to see you, Brother Jolly, and we want to welcome to... Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Brother Jolly?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, good morning to the Light Baptist Church. We send you greetings from Burnside, Kentucky in the United States. We've been looking forward to this. We've known your pastor for many years. We've learned to love him, and we feel that we are a part of you. We've supported your missions over there ever since Brother Jolly came here to the States. We took him on, and we've supported missions through him, and we want you to know that it is an honor to be able to do that. And we pray for you. We lift you all up. And it's an honor to be able to preach to you this morning. And, of course, it's nighttime here. Someday, Lord's will, I'd like to visit in person. I told Brother Jolly I'd probably get lost in the crowd. I'm only 6'5", and so I'd probably get lost in the crowd around there. But we look forward to doing that. I did want to, if you'll get your Bibles this morning and you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to be going in chapter 3 and chapter 4. But let me say congratulations on 14 years of your anniversary with the Light Baptist Church. We thank God for that. We thank God for the faithful members. And by the way, a church can't have anniversary without faithful members. And to be faithful, it's going to cost you something. And I understand that's the verse, Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. It's a verse that you all have taken on. And I think it's very wise because God don't want anything from us that doesn't cost us something. And David was wise in finding that out. Let me say something to you because I know you're struggling right now in the Philippines. I know it's very hard during this pandemic. Things are shut down. It's hard to, some of you probably can't work. Some of you maybe can't even go outdoors. And I know they're restricted several things there in the Philippines. And I know you've gone through it for some period of time. Here in the United States, we've faced different issues and we've struggled with several things with it, but I don't think as severely as you. I do understand sometimes that you can get discouraged. And this morning, I'd like to address with you The last two chapters of the last book that the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote this book to 2 Timothy, to Timothy, his son in the faith. Now, right after he wrote this book and finished it, he was going to die. He was going to have his head taken off. And so he writes in this, and he gives us some very good instruction. But I want you to understand something. As a Christian, we have many privileges. But we go through things, and we are not kept from going through trials and suffering through issues, even as the world goes through those things, like the pandemic. We go through them as well as they do. But there's something very important with us that's different than the world. When we go through these things, we're like the three Hebrew children. We go through the fire, we have somebody with us. We don't have to face the pandemic as the world faces the pandemic. We don't have to face troubles and trials and tribulations like the world does. We will suffer, and we'll suffer in different ways. But the world needs to see us suffering in a way that is different than the way they face suffering. They need to see grace in our lives. Now, if you got your Bibles turned to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I want to use for my verse to preach on, but I want you to stay there. I'm going to go in chapter 3 and 4, and I'm going to break it down. But I want you to go down to verse number 12. In verse number 12, Paul says this. He says, yea, and all, now I want you to notice that little word all. That includes every one of us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, get a hold of that verse. Now, Paul wrote this some 2,000 years ago, and he wrote it toward those of us who will be living in the last days. And he knew that we would be going through some special things, and he outlined some things that we would see that would cause us to have to suffer persecutions and suffer afflictions in our lives. Now notice here, he says, yea, and all who should live godly. So if you are choosing to live godly, then what you would do is you will, he says, you shall suffer persecution. This morning I want to preach upon this thought. There is no painless way of serving God. When you serve God, it will cost you something. There is no painless way of doing that. Now go back, if you would, in chapter 3 and go up in verse number 1. Paul tells us, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous means very difficult, very dangerous times. Now, everyone's going to suffer in the last days. The world's going to suffer, and those of us of the church are going to suffer. We're going to suffer because things are going to change. Times are going to change. Times are going to be dangerous. They're going to be perilous. People are going to change. Our homes are going to change. Our churches are going to change. And our country is going to change. And we're seeing many of those changes, and they are changing because of sin. Sin is going to be on the increase toward the latter days. The only thing that's not going to change in these last days is God. God is not going to change. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, God is still in charge. He still knows everything's going on. And everything that's happening in your church in the Philippines, everything happening in your country, everything's happening in your home, God knows all things. He knows it all. Now, sin is what makes these times so dangerous, because we are on the brink of Satan trying to have his coronation day. We're on the brink of the Antichrist coming. We are promised, and Paul wrote to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that there would come a great falling away in the days in which we are living. And we're seeing that. We're seeing people that used to come to church, that used to be a part of us, they're leaving us, and they've left us. Not only that, but we also find that the Bible predicts, and Jesus told us in the book of Revelation chapter 3, that the last church age will be the church of Laodicea. It would be one of lukewarm, and it would be one that would have need of nothing from God. And so therefore we're seeing that in the times as well. So we need to realize that we will be suffering, and all who shall live godly in these days will suffer persecution. Look, if you would, in chapter 3 and verse number 2. The way people are during these last days are going to cause persecution to those of us who are saved. And it's going to cause it in our homes, in our churches, and even in our country. He says in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own self. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's going to be personal traits of people that we see in these last days. And we're seeing that. I don't know how it is in Philippines, but we're seeing the homes change drastically. We're seeing children change. We're seeing a disrespect to parents. We're seeing people that is not thankful for anything that they have, and they're living unholy lives. They think they can live without God in their life. Not only that, but we see socially in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're seeing that socially work out. In this country, we can have social events and we will pack stadiums. We tell people we're going to preach the gospel, we're going to preach the truth, and it's hard to get anyone to come. It's even hard sometimes to get those on your church membership sometime to come, because times have changed. People have changed. And it's because sin has entered into people's lives. Not only that, but religion has changed. Many people, the reason why they don't serve God, the reason why they don't live godly, they have religion and they don't have salvation. Look at number 5. Having a form of godliness, that means an outer appearance of it, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And that's the power thereof is the Holy Ghost of God. In other words, they put on a show on the outside, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. They've never been born again. They've never been saved. And so therefore, they put a religious front on, and that's what makes it dangerous. Because sometimes your churches have people in them, and they come in and they want to have a part in your church, and they've never truly even been saved. And until they get saved, they don't understand, and they can't discern the things of the Spirit. But not only that, in verse number 6, he says, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Also he talks about, in verse number 7, it would be a time when education, knowledge would be increased. Daniel told us in the last days, people be running to and fro, and knowledge would be increased. He says in verse number 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now these are things, and these are enemies of those of us who are saved that we're going to have to face. It's because people has changed. It's because our homes have changed. It's because our churches have changed and our country have changed. Therefore, we're going to suffer persecution. You know, you can't serve God without having a love of God in your heart. The fact that we have the love of God is what separates us from the world. The Bible says that when we are born again, that the Holy Ghost of God in Romans 5:5 sheds abroad in our heart the love of God. And that's why the Bible says that we have charity, faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Above all things, put on charity. Charity is brotherly love. And John said, if we don't love our brethren whom we've seen, how can we say we love God and who we've not seen? When we get saved, God puts a love in our heart. But you need to understand, when you try to serve God and you've been saved, you have a love that the world doesn't know. That love is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That love is supernatural put into you, and it's a greater love than a natural man or woman can have. as far as appearing. It's God's love. It's agape love. It's a love that goes deeper. And it makes you love even your enemies. And Jesus said that we would even love our enemies. Even those who did evil against us, we would still love. Because there would be something inside of us, we would have that love that God had. For God so loved the world. And so therefore, that's what separates us, is a love that abides within us. And that's why the Bible says, above all things, put on charity. Because what happens is this, when we serve in the ministry of God, whether we do it as Brother Jolly is as a pastor, or whether it's some of you that are members of the church that goes out and helps and serves him in whatever capacity it is. And by the way, I so enjoyed the singing, and I so enjoyed the violin playing. Those songs were beautiful, and I enjoyed listening to those. But whatever capacity you serve God in, you do it out of love. Paul said it was a love of Christ that constrained him to keep going. Because when times get rough and you're going through persecutions, you're going through afflictions, it's awfully easy to want to quit. It's awfully easy to want to give it up. I've been there. I pastored this church for 35 years. It's not always been roses. There's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of times when I've been hurt, because you can't love without being hurt. When you love, you open yourself up to be hurt. Now, Paul's going to tell us here in a few minutes, when we get down here, he's going to share with us some people that's hurt him and some things here. He's fixing to die. He's fixing to leave. These are the last two chapters that he writes, and he leaves us with these two chapters. Now look on, if you would. He addresses from the way people will be in the last day, and he goes back in verse number 8 to the fact that there's going to be some that's going to be led by the devil, just like there was when Moses went into Egypt, and those two magicians withstood him. In verse number 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest in all men, as theirs also was. In other words, he said that we're going to face in these last days people that are completely led by the devil. They're going to hate the truth. When you preach, they're going to hate you because they hate Jesus. And the spirit of Antichrist, as it grows, Jesus promised us, he said, the world hating me is going to hate you. And so therefore, when we serve Christ, we're going to suffer persecution that the rest of the world don't suffer. Because there is no painless way of serving God. If you're going to serve God, you've got to put yourself out there. And when you put yourself out there, you're going to face some hurt. You're going to face some criticism. Sometimes you're going to get tired. Sometimes you're going to have to give. And we talked about that. Give God something that costs you something. Sometimes you're going to have to go when you don't feel like going. You're going to have to give when you don't have it to give. You're going to have to help out when you don't feel like helping out. But God has a reward for those that are faithful. And so there, what we have to remember is that there is no painless way of serving God. It's going to cost you something if you're going to try to serve God and live godly, especially in this time. Now look on, if you would, in verse number 10. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them, watch this, out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know, you think you've had tough times. I think I've had tough times. We suffered nothing like Paul had suffered. And man, Paul had went through it. Keep your finger there a moment and flip back, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul just lists a small list of things that he had went through. Now notice these, if you would, in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, in verse number 23. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, five times he was caught by the Jews. His clothes were ripped off his back, and he had a whip with a bunch of bones through to his back 39 times. Five different times he had 39 stripes to his back. Not only that, look in verse 25. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils among the brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. And listen, if Paul was sitting here preaching to you today, go back if you would to Timothy, he would tell you, he said, yea, all who shall live godly shall suffer persecution. He'd say, there's no painless way of serving God. It's going to cost you something. And my, when I get thinking what Paul went through, I haven't gone through anything like him. But I do want you to understand there are afflictions and persecutions. But we've got, and look if you would in verse number 13. Verse 12 says, yea, all who will that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But verse 13, but evil men shall and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceiving. Listen, we are not in the last days, we are not going to get rid of evil men. They're going to continue to get worse and worse. All we can try to do is serve Christ in this time and lessen their impact where we can lessen their impact. And so we need to understand that we're facing these issues because this is the last day. And if we don't understand it as sin running rapid, then we'll not understand the battle that we're up against. And so therefore we have to, as brave soldiers, understand and be willing. Now notice if you would, he doesn't just leave us with the bad news, but notice if you would in verse number 14. He leaves us some encouragement. He says, but all these things you're facing in the last days, which are days I believe we're living in, all these things you're facing in the last days, but notice what he says, but what? Continue. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, what keeps me going whenever I see what's going on around me, whenever I feel like quitting, I have to continue because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep all those promises and to perform all those things that he promised he would perform against that day when it gets time. And so therefore, I just trust in him. But I'm persuaded of who I believe in, who I serve. I'm persuaded in who I look to for my strength. So he says, but continue. Even though you're living in tough times, and right now this pandemic may be a hard pressed upon you, he said, but continue. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in, but continue. Now, there's some people that will walk away. But I tell you what, with the Holy Ghost inside of you, I find it's hard to walk away. God wants people that just can't walk away from church. He wants people to stay, even when it costs you something, even when it's painful to stay sometimes. He wants you to. Now, where do we get the energy that we can stay? Now, the encouragement, he says, but continue. He says, stay in there, fight. Don't give it up. I'll continue. Press forward. But notice if you would in verse number 15, we find where the energy comes from. He said, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the word of God gives us everything that we need to find energy to continue. Yes, the Word of God told us we're going to suffer persecution. The Word of God says that we're going to be hated by the world. The Word of God says that there's going to be things that we're going to, trials that we're going to go through, and our trials going to be as precious gold. And that the Bible tells us that we're going to have all these issues. But he says we have the Word of God. And when we get into the Word of God, boy, it encourages us. When I saw all those young men up there singing, it encouraged me to see them singing about the cross, singing about the blood of Jesus. That's what keeps me going on, is knowing that there's another soul out there that needs to hear the gospel. And if that soul hears the gospel and comes to the believing knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they too will change their life. And they too will change their eternal destiny from hell to heaven. And that's worth all the battle. That's worth the fight. And so the Word of God gives us energy. When I start feeling down, I get into the Word of God, and I find the energy to continue on, because God will speak to me out of that Word. And so today, as we approach this, I want you to understand that all who should live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There is no painless way of serving God. Now notice in chapter 4, the last chapter he wrote, he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead and appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now let me stop right here. He outlines, he said, I know the times are going to be rough, and Brother Jolly, maybe other pastors that you may have in the church or other pastors that works in the ministries there around you, he has told us what to preach and how to preach it. He tells us our responsibility is to preach the word. He didn't say whether people liked it or not. He didn't say if people wanted to hear it. He said, preach the word. Regardless of what people thinks of it, regardless of what people thinks of you, our job is to preach the word. The word of God is alive and powerful. It will do the work. We are to preach a word and let the Holy Spirit of God take the word out. And the Bible says that when we preach, that we are to reprove. Reprove is confront with the fact of sin. Sometimes people don't like it, but you can tell a lot about a person whenever you preach how they react to the Word of God when it confronts their sin. Now, that's reproving. Rebuking is to confront people with the fault of their sin. And then exhorting is encouraging them. The Word of God not only convicts us of our sin, but it also encourages us to keep going and to grow, and it gives us food to grow upon. And so therefore, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. It says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It says for the time will come, which we're dealing with, when they will not endure sound doctrine. That word sound doctrine, you'll find that also mentioned over in Titus chapter 2. That word sound doctrine means spiritual healthy living. People don't want to hear sound doctrine. What they want to do is they want to hear things that tickles their ear. Look what he says. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. In other words, he says the time's going to come in the last days. Not only facing all the enemies from the world and the devil and all the things that we're facing, we're also facing those that don't want to hear the truth anymore. But God does not give us an excuse to quit preaching the truth. We are to continue preaching and let the Word of God do it work. Now, notice in verse number 5, he says, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. In other words, he said, you got to stay alert. You got to stay alert in these last days, because there's going to be people coming at you and things coming at you all around you. And you got to endure afflictions. There are going to be afflictions that you're going to suffer. Yea, there is no painless way of serving God. But notice here, he says, do the work of evangelists. In other words, the word evangelist there means like a missionary, to go out and share the gospel with other people that are lost and dying in their sins, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now, notice the next three verses. He talks to his personal self. He says, now I'm fixing to die. He says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've kept my course, and I've kept the faith. Or I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not for me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." In other words, he said, now I've finished my work. Now you've got a lifetime, you've got a work to do. Now are you going to stay with it? Are you going to continue? If you do, there'll be something waiting for you when you finish your course. But you must stay with the fight. And if you fall down, you got to pick yourself up and go on. And you can't get out of the race. You can't get out of the fight. You say, well, I'm going through a tough time. I've gone through many tough times in my lifetime. I know many other preachers gone through many rough times. And I know I haven't gone through a lot of times that other people's going through. There's people all over the world right now that's suffering persecution because they're trying to live godly. It's not easy sometimes to live a Christian life. And Paul says, listen, it wasn't easy for me either. I suffered a lot of things. But he said, you know, my departure is now at hand. But he said, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me, but not only for me, but for all those who love his appearing. Look on, if you would, in verse number 9. In verse number 9, on down through verse number 13, Paul's beginning to share with us his ministry. See, Paul opened his heart up. Paul loved people. But there was people that sometimes hurt Paul. And yes, there'll be people that hurt you. There'll be some people in your church that you'll love. You'll do a lot for. You'll give yourself to them. And they'll quit. And it'll break your heart. And sometimes when they walk away, they'll have some bitter things to say against you. And usually the ones that says things like that and does things are the things of the people that I've done the most for. But Paul's going to share with us, he's going to open his heart, he's going to show us that when you're in the ministry, you've got to love people. But when you do love people, there are certain times that you will be hurt. It will happen. Jesus was betrayed. There was times when he would go unto his disciples, he'd say, oh, ye little faith. And there would be times when he went through 3 years of his ministry doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see, all the things that he did. And you know what the people did in return? Crucify him. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and the heads of our children. Paul poured his heart out. Let's notice some things in verse number 9 through 13. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. In other words, he wants Timothy to come see him. He'd like to see Timothy one more time before he dies. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is parting to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus, and he sent him there, by the way, to replace Timothy, so Timothy could come. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. In other words, Paul said, listen, I've had this group of people in my ministry. And by the way, Brother Jolly can't minister by himself. A pastor is only as good as his church is. And you know what allows us to support your church and others is because we have good, faithful members here. They're faithful to give, they're faithful to come, and they're faithful to support missions. And they hold my hands up when I get weary, like Moses, Aaron Hur, when they'd hold his hands up. And he would begin to have victory again. And he'd get tired and weary sometimes. And sometimes Brother Jolly is going to get tired. Sometimes he's going to get discouraged. He's going to need some folks to hold his hands up. He's going to need that. And Paul lets us know that it wasn't just Paul. He had a group around him. When you're in the ministry, it takes a team. It takes a spirit of a team. And he talks about several of them there. He says that Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus was to Dalmatia, and Luke was the only one with him right then of his team. And he said Tychius was sent to Ephesus so that that's where Timothy was, so that Timothy could come and see him one last time. But I want you to notice two other people he mentions, Demas and Mark. Now notice this. There will be times when you'll deal with people who will really disappoint you. Notice if you would in verse number 10. Now Demas, if you go back in the New Testament, there was times when Demas was faithfully serving on Paul's missionary team. Paul loved him. He called him a fellow servant. He loved Demas. But now Paul is here and Demas has forsaken him. He's left him. And yes, there's going to be times when people's going to walk off and leave you. There's going to be times when people's going to quit. But just because someone quits doesn't mean everybody else quits. I'm sure Paul was brokenhearted over what Demas did. Seeing that one time he was faithful and he was active in the ministry, and now he walks away and he goes to Thessalonica. But he mentions Mark. Now when you study the Bible, that's John Mark. If you go back in the Bible, when Paul went on his first missionary tour with him and Barnabas, John Mark was a relative of Barnabas. And John Mark was sent as a young man to, I'm sure, carry some stuff and help him, help Paul as he went on a mission. He was counting on him to be with him because he agreed to go on his first missionary trip. And what he did was he got through there and times got a little rough. And what John Mark did was turn around and went back home. And it left Paul in a real tough spot. But now I want you to notice what Paul said here. Now we find Mark had come back. You know, there's some people like Luke, they begin well and they end well. And I hope that's what you do. I hope you begin well with Delight Baptist Church, and I hope you end still serving God. But there's some people like Demas, they begin well, but yet they don't end well because they quit. Then you have some people like John Mark, they begin badly. But then they come back around and you find them serving God toward the end. And that's where Mark is right now. Then you find some like Alexander, we're going to read about in a minute. They begin bad and they end bad. But notice you would in Mark. He says, take Mark and bring, in verse number 11, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me and for the ministry. In other words, John Mark had grown up. And you have to give people, when they're saved, you got to give them time to grow. And when they understand that they made a mistake and they come back, you've got to have that love, that brotherly love, that charity. The Bible says charity covereth a multitude of sins. You've got to be able to forgive and bring them in and lift them up and strengthen them for the ministry. And so Paul, he handled and he faced these disappointments. Was he disappointed when John Mark left him? Absolutely. Was he disappointed when Demas left? Absolutely. But he handled disappointments with grace. You see, God will give you grace to get through whatever you face. And you've got to remember, yes, they will hurt you. It will tear your heart out sometimes, what people will do sometimes. But there is no painless way of serving God. When you have that love in your heart, it will rip you. And it will rip your heart sometimes. But there's no painless way of serving God. When you love people and they disappoint you, it's going to break your heart sometimes. But you've got to find grace to forgive them. You've got to find grace to try to help them. Not only that, but look on. He also faced people who was directly opposed to him. Look in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord delivered me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, sometimes we're going to have to face people that oppose us. Alexander the coppersmith, he didn't like Paul. He tried to usurp authority that he didn't have. He tried to rebuke the words of what Paul said. He was a great thorn in Paul's side trying to preach. And yes, sometimes you'll have people that do evil things against you. Paul had them. We'll have them too. And they'll oppose you. You can find in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, that he was put out of the fellowship of the church. I'm sure he had a lot of bitterness against him. He didn't like Paul. Not only that, Paul also faced the Roman government. The Roman government had him in prison at this time. They were going to take his life. They opposed him. And he said that no one stood with him. They all forsook him. They all left him. And you know, sometimes we feel like we're the only one. You know, Elijah got that way. He thought he and he only was left. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, man, he thought that he was the only one trying to serve God. And God told him there was 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal. And Paul here, he said, you know, they all left me here. They all abandoned me. They forsook me. He said, but the Lord didn't. Now I want you to understand something. Regardless of how much opposition you face, regardless of how tough it gets sometimes, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be there. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You see, we can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthen us. We have the majority. When God's with us, even when we don't see anyone else around us, we still have the Lord. And that's all we need. So when Paul had to face this opposition, he did it with courage. He didn't get discouraged and walk off and leave. He faced it with courage. And when we are having to face opposition, right now in the United States, a lot of places in the United States, we're facing opposition to our government. Our government wants to shut our churches down. Some of them wants to keep us quiet. Some of them would like to shut them down forever. We just had a missionary last week here from Canada. They've shut their churches down. Don't allow but 10. He's had to start having street ministries. They throw rocks at him when he's in the street trying to preach. Some smacks him, hits him. He faces all kinds of opposition sometimes just for trying to tell people about the love of God and see him get saved. You see, that's where the love of God is in us, and we suffer, but we suffer differently than what the world suffers. Because when you're saved, there's no painless way of serving God. You have desire in your heart to try to help people. When you see someone lost and not saved, you can't help but have a burden to want to see them go to heaven. You want to tell them about Jesus and let them have what you have. And yes, even those who oppose us, there's something within us that we still pray for them and we still want to see them go to heaven, because that's what the love of God is all about. That's what that agape love is all about. But look on. He also said there'd be times when we would deal with people that would separate us serving other places. Here he says in verse number 19, He said that Prisca and Aquila, that they had went out and they were doing ministry other places, and they'd taken their ministry elsewhere. And then also, he mentioned several others that had helped him. Some was sick in verse number 20 and couldn't come. And others was going, and other things was going on in their life. You know, when you serve in the ministry, here we've had some that young men that surrendered to preach, and we've raised them up, and then they went out from here, and now they're pastoring other places, they're preaching other places, they're doing other things. We miss them. They were a great help to us when they were here, but they had to go on. And sometimes we deal with people that has to separate us for whatever reason. Sometimes we have, the Lord takes people. I've had some very fine men and women in our church, very faithful, very giving, and God chose to take them. I don't know why, but it left a vacancy. It left a big space in our church. But we know that the issues of death are in the hands of God, and God makes all wise decisions. You see, whenever you have to face separating issues, and you have to send other people out that you may not get to enjoy the fellowship of ministry together. You know, Brother Jolly and I, we formed a great relationship. I'd love to be sitting with him every day in our services, having fellowship. But you know, if all the people trying to be faithful was in one house, we wouldn't get much done. And you know, when Jerusalem had began the church, when the church began with Christ, and then it began to grow in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came, it got so large, and everybody just kept wanting to be at Jerusalem. And God allowed persecution come, and he sent them out from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Because God wants, his plan is to keep spreading people out. And so when we have to separate from those we love for whatever reason, maybe we lose them and God takes them, or maybe they're sick and unable to come, what we have to do is just draw closer to God. And we have to deepen in our relationship with God. So when we pour our life in the ministry, be disappointed, be opposed, and sometimes we have to separate. But folks, tonight, or this morning, I want you to know that even though people has changed, even though our homes and family has changed, even though our churches are changed, even though our countries are changed, God has not changed. He is still with us. We still have victory through him. It's still by faith that we overcome the world. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to commend you for 14 years at Delight Baptist Church. And I know that it's took some sacrifice of several people, and probably several people that's listening to the sound of my voice this morning. I commend you for that. But you stay faithful. You continue. When you need encouragement, you get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God keep you going. Because life is short. And one of these days we'll be called out to glory. And we want to be able to say the same thing Paul said. We fought a good fight. We finished our course. And we kept the faith. And so this morning I would encourage you to keep up the fight. Will there be pain? Yes. Will you suffer persecution? Yea, all who shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But I want you to understand it, that the Lord will be with us. He'll help us. And he'll strengthen us. And he'll know when we need something. And he has a way of providing it. You know, I was thinking, as you all struggled a little while back with finances, we had struggled just a year before that with our finances. We got down to nothing. And God, we began to pray. And God began to pour finances into our church. And then whenever we got a letter from Brother Jolly, it was the most opportune time that we ever had to be able to open our hearts up and help not only your mission, but help we helped several other missionaries during that time. And we were able to send money to several of them that was going through hard times. And that's the way God is. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be there. You know, the key is to be saved and stay with it and continue. And God will have a reward for you. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being able to preach to these folks. Lord, it's amazing the technology that we now have, that we're able to stand here over in Burnside, Kentucky, and to preach to some folks in the Philippines. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you for the honor that we have. We also thank you for the privilege of being able to share in the ministry of their church. God, we pray that you would be with them. Lord, that you would draw a hedge around them during this time. And Lord, we pray that they would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then those things that they will need, you marvelously have a way of providing them for them. Lord, we thank you for Brother Jolly and the burden upon his heart. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him. Because we know every preacher, every pastor, there's times when we get discouraged. There's times when we take our eye off the ball. But we have to remind ourselves that there is no painless way of serving God. And we don't always understand why you put us through the things you put us through. But we know this, that you love us. And as your children, we know, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll not allow anything in our life that would do us harm. Yes, you may hurt us at times, and we may hurt because of the pain. But you'll never harm us because we're your children and you love us. And we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord and all called according to his purpose. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those folks. And Lord, we pray if there's one under the sound of our voice this morning that's not saved, that the Holy Spirit of God would lift up Jesus before their eyes. And they'd understand that, yes, even though we may suffer persecution, there's nothing like being a Christian. And Lord, knowing that you're saved and going to heaven, because when we get into heaven, it shall be worth it all. And we thank you that Jesus made a way that all of us that would believe in our heart upon his finished work upon Calvary could be saved. Lord, now we pray, be with this dear church, these dear people. Be with Brother Jolly and his family. We pray you bless him in a special way. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you tonight. God bless you.